We are joined today by Edward Lee, the chef and author of the book Buttermilk Graffiti, A Chef's Journey to Discover America's New Melting Pot Cuisine. I could tell from somebody who wrote a book called Smoke and Pickles that titles are something that you probably work on putting together. Now, I'm looking at this buttermilk graffiti, and I'm thinking I've never heard those words put together before. You got something that's sort of urban, country, you know, something smooth, something that's a little more hard edge. Tell me just about that title before we get into the discussion of the book.
Well, I'm glad you noticed that, because that's the whole point of the title was two things that don't belong together, but that actually make sense, in my world anyway. And really, Buttermilk Graffiti is shorthand for sort of my life. So the buttermilk represents the Southern cuisine that I have grown to love, and I live in Louisville, Kentucky, and I cook a lot of Southern food. And graffiti is kind of represents where I grew up, which is in Brooklyn, New York, in a very tough urban neighborhood full of immigrants. And so the kind of that was a starting point to talk about this exploration into cuisine across America, where there's I basically traveled across America and found these beautiful little nuggets of immigrant cuisine in places where you wouldn't expect them to be.
How open were the people to talking to you about their cooking and what they're doing and how they're making their foods?
That was a fascinating thing with the various degrees of openness, and quite frankly, you know, this kind of a book and this kind of an exploration has really not been done before. And some people were just suspicious, like, you know, what do you want from us? Like, we pay our taxes and we don't really want to talk to you. And other people were just like excited that anyone wanted to listen to them, and they would sit me down and open their hearts and their stories with me. And other people, which I found was hilarious, would tell me all their stories and be really open. And then when I asked them what was in the dish, they'd say, "Well, I can't tell you that. That's a secret." So some of the times I'd have to figure out what was in the food just by kind of eating it and sort of asking backward questions and try to get at what was the ingredient in there.
Well, everybody, you know, you'll be a very good observer and listener, just try to get things out. One of the things I noticed, though, you talked about this in the introduction, you kind of sort of say, I cannot eat a dish without wondering who cooked it and what her story is. Do you kind of always put a female persona to someone who creates food, or is that sort of just the traditional way of thinking of it?
No, it's, you know, there are times when a lot of the foods that I ate, because they were like mom and pop stores, they were immigrant stores, they were immigrant stories, or like soul food of just like down home cooking. A lot of the people that were cooking them were women. It was the predominant. It's funny when we think of the profession of a chef, it's a very male dominated world. But in this space that is basically, you know, home cooking, it's very much a female-dominated world. And I think, you know, whenever that's the case, you sort of give credit where credit is due.
Well, truth be told, I went right to the Tale of Two Cornbreads when I'm reading this book, only because I like cornbread. But it all sort of exemplifies that of two different women, two different types of cornbread, and all those their stories, too.
Yeah, and I just love, you know, whenever I watch TV and there's like a food show, the segment always, you know, starts with a guy that walks into a restaurant, and the end of the segment is always some host who takes a bite of food and goes, yum, and they cut to the next segment. And I always felt that was weird, because to me, that's the beginning of the segment. The minute I eat something that I enjoy, that's where the adventure begins. Now I want to talk to the person who made it. I want to ask them how did she do that? Where is this recipe? What are your influences? What were was your childhood like? And I think there are so much stories. There's so many stories to explore. Like, every fascinating dish to me has a backstory that's just as fascinating. And I try to tell those stories in this book, that it's not just the food. Once you love a dish, then you have to get to know the person behind it, and you'll end up probably loving that person too.
Well, you make a statement in this story in the chapter about the unfamiliar noodle, how much we are sometimes connected to a dish. And if you just make one alteration on it, we have to start over, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a dish that I had in Brooklyn, at a Uyghur cafe. And if you don't know what Uyghur is, neither did I. And it's a Middle Asia, Central Asia culture, basically a part of China that borders, you know, Russia and the Middle East. And so you have this incredible fusion of food there where it's kind of Chinese, but kind of Middle Eastern and a little bit Russian. And so they make noodles with lamb broth, which just if you grew up in Asia, or you grow up, you know, eating in China and know anything about Asian food, noodles and lamb just are not a thing. It just doesn't combine. And I never thought to put those two things together. You know, as a chef for 25 years, and I've done many experiments with food, I never thought to put those two things together. And it took a tiny, small mom-and-pop restaurant in nowhere, still in Brooklyn, to open my eyes to that. And that's what I love about what food can do. And I love about exploring cultural cuisine, because they can really open your eyes to things in ways that you just can't by yourself.
How do we find these places? Sometimes there's even a story where a truck driver drove by a place, didn't even know what was in there for the longest time. How do we know these places exist? Or what's a good tip on finding some of these places?
Well, and here's the thing. These places exist everywhere. A lot of times they're not on the guidebooks, they're not in the maps, they're not in, you know, Zagat's or any of your sort of internet guides. You got to do a little work. But the best way I know how is to go and talk to the locals, talk to your neighbors. You know, if you go to a Mexican grocery store to get your like Mexican soda, ask the people, where do you eat? What do you like? And inevitably they'll tell you, and you have to do some footwork. And sometimes it's literally just driving around in your car and finding some of these quirky little ethnic neighborhoods, and guarantee you'll find something. And if you live anywhere near even a tiny metropolis, I guarantee you there's some in your backyard. And more often than not, the food there is amazing.
Your book is, the subtitle of the book is The Chef's Journey to Discover America's New Melting Pot Cuisine. What would be the new melting pot cuisine if there is that? Where are we headed in this realm?
So to me, what happens is, you know, the melting pot cuisine a generation ago would have been Italian food and French food, and you know, these were the immigrants, or Portuguese food, right? These were the immigrants of that generation. And what's amazing about America is that every generation brings new immigrants. And with those new immigrants, you get a new wave of food. So cultures that we're just not familiar with really in this country, Cambodian food, Nigerian food or West African food, but also some things that we are familiar with, like Middle Eastern food. But now, instead of immigrants from Lebanon or Iran, we're seeing immigrants from Syria, from different parts of the Middle East, and they're informing the food in different ways. And even immigrants from Mexico, right? So where we think we know everything about Mexican food because we've bordered Mexico for so long, but some of these newer immigrants are coming and going, you know what, things are also not stagnant in Mexico. So the food is also changing there, and they're also bringing sort of a new revised look at Mexican food, depending on what's going on there. So everything is constantly in flux. And so every generation of Americans sort of changes their outlook on food depending on the immigrants that come in, and, you know, they inform the American food as much as we inform them about American culture.
I wonder if there's a point at which, to use a rock and roll term, they sell out. In other words, this cuisine sells out, so now we find the new one that's more traditional and doesn't have that sort of blandness or that sort of sameness that allows it to be spread across the entire United States.
Well, of course. I mean, that's Taco Bell, right? I mean, and so that's the funny thing is Italian food. I mean, there are some bad versions of Italian food out there, right? Or Italian American food. And what happens is, if we get a new wave of Italian immigrants come over, they'll say, no. This isn't. You've kind of veered off the map here. Let me introduce you to what's going on in Italy right now. So even when foods have sort of infiltrated and been in this country for a long time, you still need newer immigrants to come and sort of kind of update the food and say, hey, this is you've gone a little bit too far. And let's pull it back a little bit. And also, I also love sort of the Americanized versions of you know, immigrant food as well. I mean, you know, we all know the old adage, like, burritos don't really exist in Mexico. But, you know, listen, a good burrito is a good burrito, too. So there's sort of like parallel lines happening there. And to me, that kind of interplay in food is so fascinating because it never ends. And it's never static. It never just stops. It's constantly evolving on both sides of the border, and that makes for someone who's curious about food, it's a never-ending exploration.
Food evolves because we eat it, so it's gone after we make it. So we have to continually make it, and each time we may make it a little differently. So it allows for a change to take place.
And we're informed by our neighbors, you know, like we can make this Korean stew every day the same way, and all of a sudden your neighbor goes, hey, why don't you put this, like, pork knuckle in there? And you're like, oh, I never thought of that. And then you do, and it comes out totally different and better sometimes.
Right. Or what's in your pantry. You sometimes have to improvise.
Or what's in your pantry.
And that comes out. Mm-hmm. Buttermilk Graffiti, A Chef's Journey to Discover America's New Melting Pot Cuisine. Our guest this morning, Edward Lee. Edward, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you.